The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, here we go again on God Calling. Thank you very much for joining us here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Mara Grace is joining us today. She is the vocation director for the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia community based in Nashville. Sister, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you all.
Let's start with your vocation, Sister. How were you called to sisterhood in the Sisters of St. Cecilia community?
I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, and grew up to a Catholic family, was raised Catholic. But for me, really, I didn't really cherish what that meant or didn't place much importance on my faith until I was in middle school. I got involved with the youth group at the parish. So I had been going to public school my whole life, and the middle school youth group was the first time I really encountered young people my age praying and learning about the faith and what we believe as Catholics as opposed to other faiths. And so as I grew deeper in my faith, there was this desire to get to know the Lord and also to find out what is my purpose in this life, you know, what am I called to do? And so I remember going to a youth conference. And at this youth conference, there were kids from all over, from Ohio and Kentucky and Indiana, and about 1,000 high school students. It was the first time that I really felt so convicted about the Lord's love for me. It was an adoration. We had Eucharistic adoration, and I just had this profound experience knowing that the Lord loved me and that He had a plan for me. And so after that, it kind of became this seeking of like, Lord, what is your plan for my life? Like, what is your will for my happiness?
It's out there somewhere. You just have to find it, right?
Exactly. And so as I, you know, continued to seek that, I came across the sisters. My dad actually found the website for the Nashville Dominicans. It was about a three-hour journey for me. So I ended up going on one of the retreats there at the Mother House. And when I got there, I had never really talked to sisters before, so I was really nervous, you know. And the first thing I saw when I showed up was a field full of sisters in full habit playing soccer. I thought, this is going to be different than I imagined, you know. And I was just so struck by the joy of the sisters. I was really affected by each one was so different, that they all had their unique personalities, unique gifts, but yet each had the same contagious joy. And when I was with the sisters, there was some kind of resonance with my own soul. I felt like this was home. Although that took several years for me to kind of realize that this was truly where the Lord was calling me, there was something about the sisters that kept coming back. You know, when I'd go to prayer or, you know, I'd see a pamphlet of the National Dominicans, there was this stirring in my heart. And so I went to college, and my sophomore year, I just kind of had this experience of like, should be so happy. You know, I have great friends. I love my school. I love the classes I'm in. And yet there's something that's not quite right, you know. And the summer after my sophomore year, I came home. It was in Lexington. And the religious life came up in different ways. You know, I people would ask me that summer. There was like five different people that asked me, are you thinking about being a sister? And I'm thinking, where is this coming from, you know? but I had gotten to know the Lord and how He speaks to me a little bit more. And so I knew that there's nothing I was doing to make this happen, so I think I need to look into it. So that summer, after my sophomore year, I went back to Nashville, and it was in the silence of adoration here at the Mother House Chapel that I really experienced this grace of the call to religious life. And it's hard to explain what that's like. You know, I've talked to so many women who are like, will I ever know? I'm like, yes, you know, the Lord does make it clear in his time. And for me, that was the time. He just really gave me this peace of knowing that this is where he was calling me and this desire to answer that call.
It sounds like your parents were supportive of this. Maybe they saw something in you. You said your dad got some pamphlets. Is that the case?
Yes, my parents, I was so blessed, they were very supportive. My older brother actually left for seminary when I was in high school, and so he kind of paved the way. I think all of us were shocked that he was entering seminary. You know, I remember being embarrassed, thinking, oh no, he couldn't get a girlfriend, you know, and that was the reason. But that after he answered the call, I think all of us started to see that when we're truly doing what God wants for us, we flourish, you know, we become who we're meant to be. And so I remember seeing that in my brother, and I think that was a really turning point for my whole family. And so my parents were very supportive, and I remember my mom and dad praying that I would always know and do God's will. And that was so powerful, it's a powerful prayer, but also powerful for me to hear, knowing that they would support me as long as I was doing the Lord's will.
What drew you to the Dominican Sisters, and specifically the Sisters of St. Cecilia community?
Our mother house is here in Nashville. We serve in many other places as well. The Sisters were founded in 1860. And so there's this rich, long history of living religious life here in the heart of Nashville. And I think I was so drawn to, first of all, to St. Cecilia, confirmation. She's my confirmation saint. And St. Cecilia really has her mark on our charism as well. So there's a great love for music and the arts, for beauty. As you know, St. Cecilia is the patroness of music and the arts. So she was originally chosen as our patroness because in 1860 we were asked to come here to start a boarding school for young women. And so this would be kind of a finishing school for Southern ladies with an emphasis on music and the arts. And so as that school grew, and then eventually as more and more sisters started joining the community here, we became our own congregation and took St. Cecilia as our patroness. Our sisters now, there's about 300 sisters that belong to this congregation. You started in Nashville, but now we serve in over 50 schools throughout the country, and then a couple other countries as well, and primarily serving as teachers. So that's kind of how we carry on the charism of St. Dominic, this man who is so alive with this zeal for truth and wanting to bring that truth to souls. And so as sisters following in his footsteps, we do this primarily through teaching and the education apostolate.
What I've read about St. Dominic, one of his basic theories is just study. Study is key, enriching the mind.
Study is a big part of our life. And I think St. Dominic had this great insight that we can't love what we don't know. You know, when we meet somebody, you have a certain love for them, but then as you get to know them, you love them more and more. And same with the Lord. Like, if the more we encounter truth, the more our hearts are inflamed with love for the one who is truth himself. And so study is a huge part of our life, both formal studies, but also informal studies. Study is not just like, you know, reading books and taking notes.
No.
For the Dominican, it's like getting to know the people where we are. They're studying the culture. I was sent to serve in Ireland for a couple of years for a mission there, and that was my primary study. What is Irish culture? You know, what is the history here? You know, soak in all that, and that's all part of how do I become all things to all people so that the Lord may touch their hearts.
Sister, stay right where you are. We're going to come back after a commercial break. Love to talk to you some more. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Paul Orlowski. Sister Mara Grace is with us. She is with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia Community and the Vocation Director. You said something in the first segment, Sister, that struck me. The first thing you saw when you went on a visit to the monastery was sisters in full habits playing soccer. And as you talk to them, they're as different, maybe dressed alike, but as different as the day is long. Do you think that out there in the world there are misconceptions among people that don't know that they're all the same, that they're cut out of the same cloth?
Oh, for sure. And I know I myself have that. You know, I think it's pretty common that sisters just pray all day and you don't have to be this meek demeanor kind of. That's what's portrayed in a lot of secular films and TV shows, you know. And as I meet more religious communities, too, I see that there are as many sisters as there are sisters. You know, there are so many different personalities. There's kind of a saying, like, you meet a Dominican and you meet one Dominican. You know, there is a common charism, but yet so many different expressions of that charism. So I think that's really enriching for the whole church.
I looked up some information on the Dominican Charism, and the first, at least I saw three, unless I missed something, contemplative focus.
There's kind of, we say for the Dominican, there's four main pillars of Dominican life. And we touched on one earlier, the study aspect, that's huge for us. But also another one is our life of prayer. So St. Dominic, even before establishing study, this life has to be rooted in the contemplative dimension. So what that means is our union with Christ is primary. If that goes, our whole life goes. And so we have times throughout our day that we come together for communal prayer. So if you're familiar with Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office,
sure.
We'll pray that for morning prayer and then evening prayer and night prayer together. Pray the rosary. We have a time of silent meditation. But then also we have built into our day times and places of silence. And this is kind of what's considered a monastic custom or something that, you know, you think of St. Benedict and monastery.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of taken a lot from their life to help build in this contemplative dimension for the purpose of union with Christ. And so we read that in the church documents about religious life, like the primary apostolate or the primary work of religious is assiduous union with Christ. So that's a main pillar of our life,
mm-hmm.
that life of contemplation. And then another is that very active apostolate of going out and bringing the one whom we have contemplated to those that we are sent. So we have the apostolate. And then the fourth major pillar is our community life. As a sister, I'm never sent out, you know, as a cowboy by myself. We live in community. And, you know, maybe you mentioned that external dress. We wear the same habit. You know,
mm-hmm.
We have a common table where we eat the same meals. And so all this life of community, it's a great witness, actually, of joy and a way of imitating the apostles who went out two by two. It's very much an apostolic life as well.
In the study of St. Dominic, something that I read was that it's a way of life faithful to monastic practices of contemplative orders, but not limited by them.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it, that we do have these times of silence built in and things, but there's so much more. And that for the good of souls, if something is needed, so for example, we have this orarium or this schedule that we live by, but let's say a group needs us to help with something. Well, for the good of souls, we can be dispensed or have permission to miss that communal event to help preach the gospel. Or, you know, if I need a study night, extra time to prepare a talk or something of that nature. The monastic framework doesn't lock me into where I don't have the opportunity to prepare for that, for the good of souls.
I talked about the misconceptions. As vocation director, how do you go about breaking down those misconceptions when you're talking to a woman who's considering?
Yeah, I think one thing that our community strives to do is just to give people exposure to religious life. And we do that primarily through being just present, you know, going different places, living more the witness of religious life and letting them see those misconceptions, our misconceptions by the way we live our life. Also just making things available, like on our website, we try to very much give a full picture of our life. We just produced a new little 12-minute video that I think captures the charism of the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. You know, so all these ways I'm trying to help, especially young women, see that this life is an option, you know, and that
mm-hmm.
this is what it looks like so that they can better discern what the Lord may be leading them to and calling them to. I just make myself very available for young women that are even just have an interest in religious life, want to know more. Just make myself very available to talk to them, answer questions, kind of share whatever is helpful for them to have a better picture of religious life. And then finally, we offer retreats here at the Mother House several times throughout the year for women to actually get to experience the life with us. In my own discernment, I found that extremely helpful so that I could really inform my discernment. And I was discerning something that was really true and real rather than the conception I had of what it might be.
Maybe there's been a time period when it wasn't considered an option by a lot of people. That reaching out through social media, videos, and things like that maybe have made being a vocation director maybe a little easier. I don't know, but
I have seen a trend as well. I think the young generation is just so eager to do the Lord's will. You know, it's pretty incredible when I travel around to different college campuses, for example. There's already in among many students this culture of seeking the Lord's will. And so I think in some ways it's more, for lack of a better word, it's like kind of more trendy to think about vocation. You know, that's something in the lingo now.
Mm-hmm.
Many are formed in where when I was growing up, I certainly didn't have the idea that this was something I should do or that other people were doing. But now I encounter so many people that it's on their radar. So that I think it's a great testament to parishes and schools and good mentors to put this on the forefront of young people's mind, is that the Lord has a plan and that he's calling you to a particular vocation.
Yeah, on the radar. That's a great way to put it, because if it's not on the radar, it's not ever going to happen. This way, at least it's an option or a choice, I suppose, or something to explore for sure for a younger person. Sister, stay with us. We're coming back right after this message on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Paul Orlowski. The name of the show is God Calling, and Sister Mara Grace is going to be right back with us. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Sister Mara Grace. Welcome back to you. She is with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia Community as Vocation Director. Sister, we talked about it's on the radar for young women these days to maybe consider this sort of life, but is there a fear after the initial stirrings like, what, me? No, that can't be. That's not what God's got planned for me. Do you run into that a lot?
Oh, for sure. Yes, I'd say for most people, the number one first reaction is, I don't think I could do that, or these fears of, like, could I really be happy living this way? And I think anyone who's experiencing that, you can know you're normal. But then I think the key in discernment is that relationship with the Lord. And he is the one that calms our fears. You know, he said that over 365 times in Scripture, right? Do not be afraid. And I think that initial fear is an invitation to greater trust, that the Lord is really working for our good, and that he's not going to call us to something that is going to make us miserable. You know, his will is for us to flourish, to have life and have it to the full. And so I think that initial fear, it's a great little indicator that I'm human and I love things, but also like an invitation to trust the Lord that whatever he has in mind, this is for my greatest good. It's the most desirable thing, actually.
You're very open in this kind of opening page for somebody considering, because the questions that go through people's head, I'm not good enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not pious enough, what if I make a mistake? Those are all questions that I suppose people have to pray about and contemplate, and you're there to help them along, sir.
Yeah, and I think the key is that the Lord's call, it's his call. You know, it's not anything that we can do to make it happen or that we can do to merit it, or the mystery of his choosing, you know, where he's calling us. Often I'll encounter someone who has this desire to do the best or that most perfect thing with their life, you know, which is so beautiful. Sometimes we can have in our mind, well, religious life is the best, and so that's what I want to do, you know, and that is a beautiful desire. But what we have to really remember is what is the best thing for us is what God is calling us to. Like, that's our path to sanctity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I've seen both the fear of, I don't think religious life is really not good enough, and also this fear of making a mistake, or like, what if I don't get it right? And all of those times we experience these thoughts, these doubts, to turn those to prayer. Like, Lord, I'm afraid of this. Give me the grace to trust you. Give me the grace to know that what your will is for my good. We can know that in our heads. You know, I think we all know, okay, he's working for our good. But to know that in our heart, that's a longer journey to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the whole process of discernment actually is part of that journey to greater trust and confidence in the Lord.
The path to holiness in your order, how long does it take from entry to making final vows?
Typically, the formation process is 8 years for our community. So the first year is the postulancy. So when a young woman feels called to this community and goes through the application process, they enter as a group in August, and that first year, it's to postulate, means to ask. So just asking, Lord, is this your will for me? And so that they're living the religious life, taking classes in theology and philosophy, just getting a good grounding in the spiritual life to really develop, even deepen that relationship with the Lord to see, could this be where he's calling me? After that first year, the sisters receive a habit and a religious name, and they become a novice. And so at this point, they're still not under vows and religious vows, but they're canonically part of the community. And so the novices are kind of set apart to really enter into a time of deeper discernment. So they'll start studying the vows. We have two novice years. So the first year, they're really studying the vows, developing the life of prayer. The second year, they're experiencing the apostolate, so starting some classroom experiences, so that after those initial 3 years, they have a lot more understanding of this life, and they're more free to profess those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Initially, the sisters profess those for 5 years, initially three, and then they renew for two more. And so by the end of those initial first 3 years, and then the 5 years under vows, the sister has a really good understanding of the life and is able to really see, is this where the Lord's calling me for all my life? And so at that point is when we make our final profession. A lot of women wonder about, you know, how does the teaching thing work? And that formation process is really more the spiritual formation. And then the professional formation happens alongside that. So depending on the education level of the sister who enters, you might teach sooner than others. But basically once that professional piece is finished, then the sisters will start teaching during that, sometime in that stage of initial formation.
And you can be sent anywhere in the anywhere that you have a mother house, or not, maybe not a mother house, but anywhere you, you're asked.
A convent. Exactly. Yep, exactly. So we have convents here and then in a couple other countries. Each year we get an assignment. It says, you know, your name and where you're going. And that's, we know that that's the Lord's will for us. Through that vow of obedience, we've placed ourselves in the hands of the community. And so whatever our mother asks us to do, that's where we go. And we serve there for a year at a time. And it might be the same the next year. We might be moved somewhere else. But always that knowledge that whatever I'm asked to do, this is part of for the good of the community, for the good of the church, for my good. So it's an exciting time of year at the end of the school year when you're getting your new assignments and deciding to like renew that pledge to the Lord. I am yours and I'll go where you send me.
One of the charisms that I read about is the charism of the community is such that if all written records were destroyed, it could be recreated through the living testimony of its members. So basically, in my lingo, you're walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Make sense?
That's a great way to sum it up. That's right.
Sister, thank you so much. Sister Mara Grace joining us. Sister, there are more resources online. Do you have a website?
Yes, NashvilleDominican.org is our website. You can also follow us on Facebook. Facebook, just Google it, or facebook.com/Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia.
Spoken like a true vocation director. Thank you, sister.
Thanks so much.
Enjoy your day. And thank you all for listening to us on God Calling. We'll be back next week, 4:30 on Sunday.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.